Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 30th of January, the Fun Drive Eve, if you will.
Thought you were going to say the eve of destruction.
No. Actually, the Fun Drive isn't until Monday, but here on the roundtable, this is our last show before the Fun Drive, and then we'll go into it a little later on. We'll get an update from Megan Finnegan. Tell us how things are going with the lockbox, and that's all very exciting. We have good news there, so we'll share that with you in a little bit. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I just want to add to there's good news and then there's scary news. We're getting close, very, very close, but we're not there yet by any means.
All right. So good news, scary news, and maybe that news is, this is a testament as to what people can do in just 45 minutes. So maybe we can turn the tides in just 45 minutes. So you listen and
we're getting there.
And you comment, yeah. And yeah, that's great. So we can be there at the top of the hour when Megan gives us our report. Now, Ray Graff is with us.
Hi.
It's always nice to have Raymond with us. WAMC is an intrepid newsman. And SUNY Albany journalism professor and star investigative reporter, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Oh, yes. Hello.
All right. You can be involved in our conversation by simply going to wamc.org/roundtable and click on the today's date for the panel and comment there. You can also write to us directly, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let's start with, it's been the black cloud that's been hanging over Albany ever since Preet Bharara said those two words, stay tuned. And now, we just heard it in Ray's newscast that NBC in New York City is reporting that Dean Skelos is being investigated by federal authorities over his sources of income. Skelos's connections to real estate deals were being looked into by U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, who last week jolted Albany with the arrest of Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. Meanwhile, in the halls of the Capitol comes this statement from Dean Skelos's office. It says, quote, last night's thinly sourced report by WNBC is irresponsible and does not meet the standards of serious journalism. Senator Skelos has not been contacted by anyone from the U.S. Attorney's Office. As such, we will not be commenting further.
Strictly speaking, not a denial.
No. Alan?
What I found interesting was that the leak didn't come via the New York Times, which has become the regular.
We were just talking about that,
sourcing.
Right.
Yeah. And so maybe they're spreading it around. Maybe there was too much unhappiness on the part of some of the media that, you know, the New York Times was getting firsties all over the place. But this is interesting because apparently—
Alan, can I just interrupt?
Sure.
Just real quick, and the other thing that my colleague Ray Graff pointed out, or the Times found that it wasn't true.
Ah, yeah, that's always a possibility. What they're doing now, see, Preet Bharara moved the line. That's what's interesting. In the old days, you had to get a guy recorded saying, like Anthony Seminario, who got caught because he was talking to an FBI agent, said, yeah, of course, if you do this, I could do that, you know.
Right.
That's called bribery. Now, the new thing is that, you take a look at the fortune that somebody has made, like Shelley Silver, and then you say, well, he's taking money to do this and this, but he's not really working hard for it, and maybe that's a bribe. That's going to be his defense when he comes to trial. I'll tell you right now that it wasn't recorded. It wasn't, if you do this, I'll do this situation. And the real question is, of course, whether that happens with Dean Skelos also, because he's got a law firm and he has real estate clients. And the question is, did he work for his money?
Rosemary.
Well, I think WNBC might just have done some good reporting and found out about this. It's not much of a leap to think that the prosecutor is looking at Skelos as he has at other leaders. And I think this just might be coming together. If truly the New York Times had found it wasn't true, then why didn't Skelos just say it isn't true and it's irresponsible? The statement is pretty weak.
Yeah, it has some holes in it.
Yeah, I think Governor Cuomo should be a little nervous, too. I'm sure they're looking into his records.
Well, especially if you get 435, what was it? 45 million dollars in campaign contributions the last time. You know, I think what's happening here is that the U.S. attorney, the fighting U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, is in fact redrawing the landscape. You say, okay, if you people aren't going to do it down there at the state level, I'm going to do it from the federal level. And, you know, even if it turns out that Silver walks free or that Skelos never did anything, I think everybody's going to be watching it. And may I just say that Heastie, who is the heir apparent, he better watch himself too, because I'll tell you, if I'm the U.S. attorney, I'm going to be taking a very careful look at him, the Bronx boss, as to what his participation has been in, getting things done for different people.
I think that's a good point, that the prosecutor is sending a message. That why is it so extraordinary that if you're in the state legislature doing the public business, we're going to check on you, you're subject to it. And it's a little annoying that it's coming from a prosecutor who's outside the culture. He doesn't know Albany. He's not of this. And yet all those years when it was kind of widely known, the money that was coming into Silver, and no one ever looked into it or did anything here. So aren't they getting what they asked for?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We knew, for example, that Silver was, working for this firm that basically involved itself in torts one way or the other. And therefore, we knew we were never going to get tort reform in New York while Silver was the speaker. So one and one made two all along.
I was watching the television last night, the television set, and on one of the discussion programs of New York State politics, there was a talk about the impact of this being a part-time legislature, in the sense that because it is a part-time legislature, that you are just saying to people, okay, this is going to be a supplemental piece of your income, go out, do this, and the $120,000 that you make for speaker or the whatever you make as assembly member or senator is not nearly enough, so then you have to be a part of a law firm in which you make, in this case of Dean Skelos, $150,000 to $250,000 on top of it.
The idea
as you
of it,
point,
sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you.
Okay, I was just going to say that the idea of the part-time legislature is so good. I hate to lose that you would have only career politicians in the legislature.
Right.
The whole idea of outside employment is to keep you connected to real life. I'm not sure that working for these high-end Wall Street-like firms does that, but that's the intention, and that's a bad thing to lose.
Absolutely.
Well, let me just say there's an assumption here that they're part-time. Look, these people make more money than most Americans will ever think about making in their part-time work. And yet they're always asking for more. And frankly, Rosemary and Joe, there are people who do work full-time at their assembly jobs, and they're getting, by the time they're done with all their Lulus and their extra money, they're probably making around $100,000 a year. And if you think these guys are metal welders who are coming in on their part-time to be assembly members, that's horse pucky, of course, and or bull pucky. It's one of those. And
it's a pucky
and
from
this
a
whole
large
concept. I didn't say it was from them.
Oh, okay.
So that might be crossing
with
the line.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Depends
so
on how you define pucky, obviously.
Yeah. Well, if you play, a game
pucky
on ice.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So I just think that there's a sense that they're part time when they're not part time. I mean, they are. They've got this job. Some of them have, as Shelley Silver did and Dean Skelos, though, outside. A quarter of the guys in the assembly, or the people in the assembly, are practicing lawyers. Well, you get a choice between going to Shelley Silver or Rosemary, the lawyer. You know where you're going because you're buying power. So I think, you know, give them the salary that they're getting and make them full-time. And if they don't want to do it, then an awful lot of other people will want that $100,000 a year.
I don't know. I would go with Rosemary because I think she could kick some serious horse pucky.
Ah.
You'll be my campaign manager.
Yeah,
Raymond,
I'm
were you going to say
away
something?
From her.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back and continue our conversation. We'll get some letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Smith College Museum of Art. Featuring redesigned galleries with updated themes, spaces, and interpretations, smith.edu/artmuseum. And Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996. MannixMarketing.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. This is the thing. I feel that this is my job. When the panelists start to engage in just great conversation, that just be saved for the radio.
Okay.
You waste
save it for the show.
Break. Yeah. So the question I have, Alan, here is that Rosemary was bringing up, or I guess Raymond a moment ago during our break said, you know, when does this become a witch hunt? And my question is, does Preet Bharara, by saying those words, stay tuned, just set this up where the press is going to look at whatever they can get to find out what that next story is?
Well, our colleague Raymond is always very bright, and keeps it real.
Oh boy.
But yes, there have been prosecutors who have gone out and become witch hunters, but I don't think that's what's happening here. I think Preet Bharara knows about the culture of corruption in Albany. And he's saying, I'm going to do something about it. Now, there are people who are already saying he's running for governor. Somebody said to me yesterday that he was born in India but moved here. That's interesting because that means he can't run for president. But that he might have a political career. Look, so far, Andrew Cuomo had been the attorney general. People like it when they come out of law enforcement and they go there. Elliot Spitzer had been the attorney general and had done this. So now maybe we're going to have a U.S. prosecutor who runs for office. I'm going to take him at his word that he's just doing the right thing. I'm a great admirer so far, but I think what Ray says bears watching. It bears watching. The president of New Paltz, our wonderful Alice Chandler, was quoted once when she first met me, and she turned around to somebody and said, he bears watching.
But my question is, at what level of scrutiny is every state legislature in the country? Is this an unusual amount of scrutiny for a state legislature? In other words,
well,
if you went to Oklahoma and did the same thing, would you be able to turn up several rats?
Well, the answer is I don't know. But I do know that in this case, there is a culture of corruption in Albany. And I personally welcome Bharara and what he's doing. But I do think you're right about one thing. If, in fact, people are going to be tried by newspaper leak, that's very different from, bringing charges. I was talking to Roselle about one thing that really confused me. Maybe somebody else on the panel knows the answer to this. When they arrested Sheldon Silver, apparently they confiscated something like $3.5 million of his dollars.
Right.
How do you do that before somebody's found guilty? I don't get that one. Anybody else know the answer to that?
Well, wouldn't you, Rosemary? I mean, you would seize the quote unquote stolen property, right?
Right. It's not like they're spending it or taking away from you. It's just frozen until there's a conclusion about whether they are ill-gotten gains. That's pretty
happens
cool.
all yeah, the time in all sorts still, of criminal cases.
I would like to say that if you are in the state legislature, you have to file asset disclosure forms.
You
are open to disclosure. And yeah, I think you should be expecting that anybody at any time, not just a federal prosecutor, but me as a reporter or me as a citizen, can look at where you are getting and how you are spending your money. That is the essence of anti-corruption. So I don't see this as a witch hunt at all. I do wonder about the term Scalos is, quote, under investigation. Does that mean the prosecutors are just going through the books and looking at
of
stuff?
Everybody?
Yeah, which is a review. It's not to me, if under investigation means they think they have something, charges are imminent. And I don't know what that is here. The reporting is pretty vague at this point.
And I know that Ray is talking about Kafka and the trial, his well-known book, The Trial, because they came to take Joseph K. away morning without having
nice
done
reference.
Anything
yeah.
wrong.
Shelley S. must have done something wrong that day because, it's not exactly what I was.
Right. Well. Anyway, I do think that Rosemary has led us into an interesting place when she talks about the way in which their disclosure laws are written. You know what? Those disclosure laws have been notoriously weak for a long time.
Yep.
Instead of just letting us see what you got, you know, what'd you get? As Rosemary says, who gave you the money? What'd you get? But as opposed to that, we say, did you make between $100,000 and $200,000?
Yes.
Everybody yawns. Who's going to go, follow that up?
Right.
I fill out those forms. So you make a certain amount of money in the state, you have to start filling them out. And professors can get out of it. However, I did it just because I wanted to see. It's so easy to get out. It is minimum scrutiny.
We're going to take a break.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to take...
Hold that.
We're going to take a break. Oh, really? Yes, we are. But we'll be back. Don't worry. Let's see. You can write to us, roundtable at WAMC.org. Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. I'm Joe Donahue. We make up the panel, and you make it up as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And you can also go to WAMC.org/roundtable and click on the date. Even help the lockbox out as well. We'll be back. I was trying to talk to Ray during the break. Just as we were coming in, he wouldn't even talk to me.
Yeah.
He was so engrossed in the music.
Because Hopper found a 1981 track from Larry Carlton, right? Oh, God, that was a great Hopper. Well done.
Whoa.
Gold star in the book.
Nice. Very, very nice. All right.
Hey, Joe, before we begin on the letters issue, I just wanted to mention that we have been deluged with letters about commending Rosemary for what she said yesterday on the vaccination issue.
Oh, wow.
A ton of people writing. We got one letter, saying, no, there's too much wrong with it. But a lot of people responding to what Rosemary said, saying that people ought to get their kids vaccinated for all the obvious reasons. And Rosemary, I just wanted to mention that.
Good.
Because you take a lot of shots at other times.
That's
so
true. I have to bask in this.
Yes, enjoy it. Okay, what other letters do we have there, Alan?
Okay, so from James, I think most people in and out of New York State feel that the state government is corrupt, and I have no ill feelings for all of the legislation that is being looked at. Am I glad that the media is looking hard at them for the next story? If they are innocent, then okay, they have nothing to be worried about. But the media and we the people should have an open look at our leaders' income, and that's what. And remember, we're their bosses, says James. And let's see. And then okay, so Cheryl says that loved Rosemary's Armeo's comments on the measles. And that's what I see. Do you see more, Joe?
I think that's probably we have one from Stanley. Did you see that one?
No, I don't see that. Why don't you read it? Go ahead.
New York State has a good assembly speaker. I was thinking last night about Stanley Fink. I reread his obituary in New York Times Web, and what a great speaker he was. Stanley was smart and fought for infrastructure and transportation. He worked with the Republicans and overturned Hugh Carey's vetoes. He retired early and should be honored today. That from Rich. All right.
I just want to respond to that. He was a brilliant man. But he also had a rough side to him. And that rough side, if he didn't like you, and I'm not including myself in this because I don't really know, but he could be a very tough guy. And it didn't always work out. That's all I got to say about that, because he is gone.
All right. Let us go to some other stories and talk about other stuff. Of course, there was the Keystone Pipeline vote And I found this to be a rather interesting story. The Senate passed a bill on Thursday to force approval of the Keystone XL oil pipeline, which President Obama is certain to veto in his first official clash with the new Republican majority Congress. The five-year fight over the Keystone pipeline has become a proxy for far broader fights over climate change, energy, and the economy, and for the conflict between Mr. Obama and congressional Republicans. What do you think, Rosemary?
I think the timing of it is pretty interesting. It comes at the same time that Obama is also fighting with Congress over a tax increase in his new budget.
Yes.
So I have never thought that the pipeline was something that he felt strongly about. He could easily give it to them and use it as a negotiating point. I still think that's in play.
Alan.
Darn, I agree with you.
Oh,
I said, darn, I agree with him, Rosemary. Yeah, no, I think that's right. This is one of those things which, look, this is a president who's for fracking. So, I think he is energy oriented, and he might well allow it. There's also a story that passed the wires for a couple of days about allowing new drilling off the Atlantic coast. So,
All right. We're having problems with Alan's
trading material.
There you go.
Okay. Alan, we were just having trouble with your microphone there for a second. So just whatever you just said, just say it again.
And how is it now? And how?
You're okay.
And how is it now? I just said that this is a president who has oil on his mind. He's for fracking. He has announced that there'll be some drilling off the Atlantic coast, I believe. And so I have a feeling this is one he could give away without feeling that he was backing up on his commitment to fight the Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot on this show and a lot on the panel and a lot in the media in general about polls. And so there's a poll in the New York Times today conducted by the Times and Stanford University. An overwhelming majority of the American public, including nearly half of Republicans, support government action to curb global warming. And I that's like one of those duh polls to me. But I guess it is important. I don't know.
Well, it shows an increased awareness about it, but the idea of doing something about it and then doing it are two different things. It's like the Greeks probably, if you poll them, would be in favor of getting out of debt and improving the economy. But when it comes to cutting jobs, closing factories, ending services, then they get upset and vote in a communist. So it's one thing to be in favor of a principle and another thing to do it.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. But it's also campaign contributions. Let's not forget that.
Yep.
Immense amounts of money that go into the coffers of these guys.
Yeah, you know, it's and I keep thinking, I'm reading now a great book recommended by a WAMC reader about Saudi and American relations engendered by oil. And gasoline is so cheap right now, which means are we thinking as much as we should be about solar and wind energy? These are technologies that we should be investing in and getting ready for. And we are not.
The one thing about this.
No.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just going to say the one thing about the Saudis, which is so interesting, is if they hadn't allowed the price of oil to fall without cutting their production, we would not be seeing $2 and something a gallon. Right. So even there, they're the ones who we are depending on. And I think this has to do with getting at the Russians, to be honest with you.
Well, that's part of it, but I think it's deeper than that. I mean, you notice that the president did not go or send anyone to France when we had the Paris slaughter. How fast did he get over to Saudi Arabia for King Abdullah? We pussyfoot around them, and there's a reason for it. They are immensely powerful and have been to our economy since when? Before the wars, before World War II.
And they are being very careful about U.S. public opinion.
Yep.
They only whipped the guy 50 times the first time, and they've been calling it off because of humanitarian reasons each week since then. He was sentenced to 1,000 lashes for doing what? Opening his mouth.
Yeah, he put out a blog. He's Alan is talking about a blogger who simply wanted to have a space where Saudi Arabians could talk about issues, and that was enough to win him a blasphemer, insulting the government and blaspheming against God, and 1,000 lashes and a $250,000 fine.
I just want to go back to the poll real quick before we move on to other issues, but the one thing out of this that I found deeply troubling was the question, if nothing is done to reduce global warming in the future, how much do you think it will hurt, it will hurt you personally? And it was 72%. It's like, wow. What it does to us personally. And that's interesting to me.
It is interesting.
Anyway.
It's public opinion poll, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But still, isn't that, I mean, like, again.
Still, it doesn't carry much as 72% of the people saying, I think it's going to hurt me, not really a scientific, 48% say UFOs are from Venus, you know, it doesn't mean anything, just means 48%.
No,
people,
they're saying they're concerned about it, but they don't think it's going to harm them.
Oh, they don't think it's going
to
harm them. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's
but only marginally so.
Okay, yeah, these polls are suggestive for what legislators, what policymakers might do with it. So do you read anything in this poll that says, oh, we have to get on the stick and really do something about this or we're going to lose votes? I'm not seeing that.
You're right. It's the intensity of the poll which counts. In other words, at what point does the issue become so salient that the legislators have to watch out for it? Or is it just, I'll just answer this and it won't hurt me. And they get some solace from that and say, okay, we'll keep on taking the money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to other stories and talk about other things on this Friday morning. And before we take, we can get one more story in before we take a break. And let's go to the budget because Rosemary mentioned that this is an interesting, a major fiscal clash taking shape. President Obama will propose breaching statutory spending caps in the fiscal year that begins in October, putting out a budget Monday that raises spending at Congress's discretion by $74 billion, or at 7%, according to the White House. With the era of falling budget deficits coming to an end, Mr. Obama and Congress are hurtling toward a major fiscal clash over spending as the White House and Democrats press for an easing of fiscal spending austerity, just as Republicans redouble their efforts to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary
first. So I think this is an interesting new play in the little game of cat and mouse between the Congress and the president. And both have said, oh, well, we have some areas of agreement. We'll work on that. No one likes the limits, the sequestration of last year. And so that would seem to be an area of agreement. Let's get rid of those arbitrary caps. You remember they couldn't reach an agreement on a budget impasse last year, so they just threw a bunch of spending caps out. And they're bad, both for Republicans and Democrats.
The spending caps are bad?
Yeah. Yes, because they were just applied arbitrarily across the board on defense and on entitlement programs. It wasn't like, oh, we better really watch out for the defense budget. We're in some trouble. It was just arbitrary.
Yeah.
So throwing them out on the face of it does not seem to be something that either side would argue against.
However, those hard right fiscal conservatives say, hey, look at what's happening to the economy now. Spending has been capped.
Exactly.
And the economy, bada bing, is improving. Is there a connection? I'm not an economist. However, some on the right will say, look what happened.
That's exactly right. So whether they're going to go ahead, Alan.
No, I was just going to say, and some would say that Bill Clinton was the beneficiary of that also when he had to work with a Republican Congress, because basically he got all the credit for the economy picking up again. So Ray's question, I know he never makes an assertion, but his question is important.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I just said?
Yeah,
there?
I forgot what the question was now, but go on.
No, it was a shot. No. You said, well, is it possible? So, yeah, but often when you ask a question, there is an assertion put in there. It was like the Spanish regents when they used to say, give you a question, and you had to take the question and turn it into an affirmative statement. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
72% of those polled find some validity to what you're saying.
I'm trying to bring it back to the budget, which is, my point. Okay, I'll go back to my point because at least I understand that one. Is that on the face of it, the two sides should be the same. We put these spending caps in desperation. Now it's time to take off the caps and really look at how we want to spend our money, and that's where the real fighting will begin.
Yeah, and then we'll build some more. In order to do that, we'll have to build some more battleships and some more submarines.
We will.
A couple of billion dollars
each. The Republicans want defense spending beat up. There's no question. And Obama wants more taxes on the rich. So those are the real two fighting stances that we have.
But the nomenclature for both of them is the middle class. The middle class is getting screwed. They both say, because they both know the middle class votes. You know, the poor don't. Not in the numbers they might if they really wanted what they want, and the rich are too small a group.
There's some interesting writing on what exactly middle class is to each of these sides. $30,000, is that middle class, or is $80,000? And that's a big difference in terms of a family, but in the terminology of Republicans and Democrats, I think it's getting all mushed up together.
The only thing that counts is what they say. And they say middle class, and they don't care whether it starts at $10,000 or $30,000.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about other issues. We'll get a few letters, and then we'll also get our update on the lockbox as we enter into our fun drive on Monday morning at 6 a.m. with Alan and Ray. We will be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Paula Redmond Real Estate, with offices in Millbrook and Rhinebeck. Offering land and homes from estates to village homes and weekend getaways, paularedmond.com. And Step Up Presents, music artist Mark Knopfler, Sunday, October 11th, 8 p.m. at the Palace Theater, Albany. Tickets available today at 10 a.m., Ticketmaster locations, or the Palace box office, 518-465-4663.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is a Friday morning.
It is.
Yes.
Friday.
Thank God.
You're
it's Friday.
Looking here for verification.
72% of those polls think it is a Friday morning.
It is a Friday morning. Yes. And it's just a few days before our fun drive begins on Monday. And it's going to be amazing. And we'll give you an update in just a few minutes on how all that is going. Before we do, Alan, do you want to get to some miscellaneous letters? And then we'll get to a couple more subjects here real quick.
Okay. Let's see here. Mark says, Rosemary is right about Saudi-American relations. By the way, who do each of you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
That's coming up.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
I'll give you the exact score.
Okay. And Tizio says, New York legislators are paid more, in capital letters, than average American full-time wages for a conveniently defined part-time job. I love that, conveniently defined part-time job. The only way to start reducing corruption is to change the definition to a full-time position with no outside income and full disclosure. There are plenty of people all over New York who would love to earn $100,000 per year. Meanwhile, what about Massachusetts and sleazy Sal DeMasi? Let me just say, I couldn't agree with you more, Tizio. You're right about that. The only problem is that when you start paying people and saying you can't do anything on the outside, then you get what the U.S. Senate is, a bunch of millionaires, because they don't have to worry about any of that. I'm just saying that and all like that.
All right.
So there's that. Yes.
Let's get to a couple more topics before Megan comes in. I want to try to get to a few more things. Two stories I thought were interesting. One is the ban at Dartmouth. I found this to be a fascinating story. With colleges under growing pressure to reduce alcohol-soaked student behavior, Dartmouth College said Thursday that it would ban hard liquor on campus, going beyond the changes that all but a few of its peers have been willing to make. Dartmouth has had a string of embarrassments involving binge drinking, and it has hardly been alone. Sexual assaults, fraternity hazing, and hospitalizations have rocked campuses around the nation. So now Dartmouth will do something and look to ban hard alcohol and really focusing on Greek life as a whole.
Here's a news flash, Dartmouth. You're not going to ban hard liquor from campus. Whether you ban it or not, they will drink it.
It's a good step. I think it's a good step. UAlbany has a case where students at a fraternity.
A case of what?
A case where students drinking hard liquor at a party ended up in the hospital. One of them died. It's serious. It sends a message. No, of course it won't stop it completely, but it makes it a little bit harder. Sends a message about, you know, really think about what you're doing. I think it's great.
According to officials, it will increase the incidence of binge drinking and increase the risk of binge drinking off campus. Which will lead.
You think?
These kids don't. It's their first taste of freedom away from home. No one's telling them what to do. They do not realize the danger because when you're that age, you have this sense of immortality. I don't think this is.
Here's
a bad
what it's
thing.
Going to do for Dartmouth. It's going to help them from a legal standpoint. The next time there is an assault that is related to alcohol, they'll say, we have a policy. We have lawyered this 19 different ways. You can't sue us for this. That's against the rules.
That is so cynical.
That does seem very cynical, right? I must agree with my colleague.
Too bad.
I
72% of those polled think I'm correct.
Okay, but if you don't do it, I mean, if you're doing it, especially since the one thing Dartmouth has that many other colleges don't is the Greek life, if you will, and really coming down on these fraternities and sororities and saying, look, this is something that you have to control, and if you want to be recognized on campus, then you have to abide by this, and if you don't, you are not going to be recognized.
But that's always the rule.
Besides, there's still beer and wine. Come on. You can still have a party. This is not so terrible.
You're not helping your case by saying that.
Well, I'm trying to.
Because you can get blitzed on wine, and you can get blitzed on beer.
Can you?
You can, and they do.
Well, at a certain age, it stops being effective, but I mean, yeah.
And on water. Yeah.
But I mean, my point is, come on, really?
You know, We've got a couple of letters. Tom says a case of what? That was funny, Alan. You said something about a case, and I said a case of what?
Oh, and it went I didn't even said, get that, Alan. I'm see, sorry.
Yeah. And then we heard from somebody who said, "Shut up, Alan."
Whoa.
And then
I didn't send that, did I?
We did.
I was just thinking that.
No.
No.
And Julia says, the poll asking individuals they would be personally infected by climate change is worthless. Change will be occurring over decades. How many of those polled look beyond 5 years? Americans are notorious for having a very limited long-term view. And how many of those polled will be around in 25 years? Be more interesting to poll high school students in their mid-teens, right?
Interesting.
That's what I got. You got anything else, Joe?
Nope, that's what I have. Let's just go to one more story, and then we'll go to Megan. And that is, we'll go around the room. Super Bowl predictions.
Seattle. I like Marshawn Lynch, and they're not cheaters.
Okay.
Oh, but they are. They're the most penalized team. And Carroll was also penalized when he was a college
that's
coach.
That's not cheating if you're penalized Adderall. For. If you do a bad thing and you're punished, that's it. It wipes the record clean.
Okay, but what if there aren't actual charges, Rosemary?
We all saw it.
They're
that's,
both the most
no,
penalized
that's funny.
Teams. It's the corruption bowl.
Yeah,
no, that's funny. Yeah. That was funny what Rosemary said. Once you're punished, it's wiped clean.
Yeah.
Okay, fair
you
enough.
Served your time.
So
all right.
So she likes Seattle. Patriots will win this game 24-17. They'll establish a run early, and then play action to Gronk up the middle. And if they can control the read option. Wilson's read option runs, they got this game.
What is he talking about? How do you know that?
Patriots 24,
how do you
Seahawks
know that?
17.
You think it'll be a low-scoring game, then?
Yeah, I do. In fact, that might be on the high end. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking more like 28-35, somewhere in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Who wins?
Patriots.
Okay. Wow. All right. What about you, Alan?
Nobody asked me.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I only pick the teams based on where they're playing. So I'll never root for Dallas because, you know, the president and all that. So here we have Seattle. So here we have Seattle and Boston. I live in Massachusetts. My son is a fanatic, so I'll have to go with Boston. You know, for the right reasons here. Of course.
Okay,
that's right.
And I have no. Now
what about the read option,
Seattle,
though? I mean, can they handle the read option, Alan?
Yeah. They'll pick up that book and they'll read all about it.
Yeah, they'll read all about it. And Megan Finnegan, you want in on the
I'm going with Ray on that. Patriots. Definitely low scoring.
Okay.
Good defense.
All right, fair enough.
All right, there we go.
Speaking of low scoring, how's the old lockbox doing?
Oh, we've scored big with the lockbox.
Really?
Yes.
All right, how big?
We are up to $481,696.
Wow.
That's the good news. But Alan can tell you the bad news, Alan.
Yeah, the bad news is, suppose you're sitting there, you think it's 19,000, and you think, okay, I don't have anything I have to do here. And then on Monday morning, we look at each other, and we are bereft because we didn't make it and lost the $10,000 from the Berkshire Bank. That would be terrible. And that would be on all of you who think, oh, well, this is it. It doesn't need, but we're so close, but we're not there yet. Water everywhere, but not a thing to drink.
Yeah.
He was so much more positive when we had so much more to raise.
Yeah.
No, well,
he's like that.
It is very, very close. We can feel it. What is it? So what do we need?
We need $18,304.
By Monday at 6 a.m.
I think we can do it. I think we can.
So it's like $6,000 a day, right? Today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Yeah, it's been shrinking every day.
And I know Sunday's going to be a great day.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to make loads of money on Sunday. No.
Let's get it done today.
We have to do it now.
Absolutely.
WAMC.org is the website. There's a big lockbox, some verbiage and whatnot. Just click on it and everything.
Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, thank you very much. I know we'll all be watching the Super Bowl Sunday night and rooting for each other.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah. Megan, thank you very much for the update, and we look forward to when we'll all be in the same room together. That'll be great, and we'll meet here on Monday. Rosemary, you have a couple days off.
You're volunteering as you did last fun drive?
That 6 a.m. thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Come on in.
There's no way.
I'll buy you a bagel.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're free, but I'll give you one.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.